Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mona Montgomery with this evening's edition of The Hula Hoax. There were no gas chambers. There was no pure Jew fat soap. There were no Jew skin lampshades, and there were no Mengelian experiments. What there were concentration camps, because Hitler had decided that the Jewish Bolsheviks, who were in the process in Russia of crucifying, torturing, and killing 65 million white Christian Russians, needed to be put in cages.
I think the double-wide mobile home is the wave of the future. When white people wake up and start exercising their right to exclusively associate only with whites, they're going to be dogged by all of the non-whites who are not going to want them to have that constitutional privilege. So what I think will happen is that a lot of us will move out into the rural areas and buy these double wides and form communities, all white communities. Until the situation gets straightened out, there's going to be governmental oppression and infiltration by non-whites. So I expect every 5 years or so, maybe every 10 years, the white people will have to reorganize, which they can easily do using the internet, and they'll decide on another place to live. And then they'll move all of their double-wide mobile homes to this new area where white people can once again congregate exclusively with white people. It might take 40 years of these movements before people in America suddenly realize white people are serious and the laws will be changed to allow white people to exclusively associate with white people as we had over 50 years ago. But until that time, I think the more creative, more successful white people who want to exclusively associate with whites will be buying these double wides and moving them to locations, first here, then there, like members of a flock of geese or members of a pack of animals choosing to live among their own kind and needing these movable homes to help them achieve this goal. In the United States, people aren't allowed to be with each other, not white people anyway. Everyone else can be with their own kind, but not white people. So the purpose of the internet for white people is to try to figure out a solution to our problem. We've been totally divided from each other in the United States. I don't think it's much better in the other English-speaking countries. But the problem is definitely not to embrace our black brother. We've done so much of that that our children are turning brown before our very eyes. We are losing the right to survive as a race. We have a problem that needs a solution. The very last thing the white man needs to do is to stop being vigilant, to give up the battle, and just walk into the dark night of extinction. The issue with the Passion of Christ is not whether or not the Jews killed Christ. The issue is a right now issue. It's whether or not Christians are allowed to read their own Bible and interpret it for themselves, especially those verses that clearly state that the Jews were responsible for Christ's death. Maybe that's a little hard to understand because I didn't put it very well, but let me repeat it. The issue is, do the Christians have to submit to the Vatican's policy announced in 1963, which states, "The Bible does not say that the Jews caused the death of Christ." A clear apostasy, a clear lie. This is what's at issue with Mel's movie, The Passion. Mel says that the Pope did not have the right in 1963, in the interests of world peace, to issue a proclamation to all of his priests that the truth about the Gospels, not the truth, but the truth about what the Gospels say, would no longer be preached from the altars in Christendom. That's what the Pope did to Christians in 1963. He said, the Christians are going to believe what we the priests tell them is in the Bible. Yes, it does say in the Bible that the Jews turned Christ over to the Romans, but that's divisive. So henceforth, after 1963, we, the priests, of the Catholic Church are going to intentionally lie from the pulpits to our Christian parishioners and tell them that the Bible does not say that the Jews were responsible for Christ's death. This proclamation then got passed out to all of the other Christian churches, so that by the time the Passion came out, all of the Christian churches had taken the vow to intentionally lie to Christians about what was in the Gospels because it hurt the feelings of the Jews. This is a right now issue. Christians all over the world are going to see the Passion. They're going to say, I was lied to by my priest or my minister. They're going to go to the Scriptures. They're going to find out that the Scriptures not only support what Mel Gibson says, but that the Scriptures support the eyes, nose, and ears of each individual Christian who has ever had personal contact with the Jews and knows from his own experience that Christ told the truth to the Jews when he turned around to them when they were persecuting him and making his life a living hell with their continual plot to assassinate him, nailed him right between the eyes and told him, "You are the spawn of Satan." The problem of Israel controlling our government certainly can't be laid at the feet of President Bush. It's been with us since the Second World War. I love Bush because it was on Bush's watch that the truth came out that the assassination of JFK, the Mossad-type operation against my beloved Qureshians, probably the attack on Randy Weaver, and all of the other strange operations against my country perpetrated by what we've been calling the rogue element of the CIA or the shadow government. It was on Bush's watch that it all came out in the open that this was our friends, the saint-like humanitarian Jews, the same people whom Nixon referred to when he told Billy Graham that the Jews had his hands tied behind his back, the same people who were obviously perpetrating the scandal against Bill Clinton, to which he nobly stood up and took the abuse and never crumbled. I think Clinton did a pretty good job of standing up to the Jews, but he didn't expose them. President Bush has exposed them. The last thing I would do would be to punish this president for this wonderful, wonderful act, which has been so freeing to me personally. I'm glad to know that I've been cuckolded by my best friends, the Jews, and I am no longer friends with the Jews. I now reach out only to white people. That's a major change in my life that has upgraded my lifestyle immeasurably, and for this I thank President Bush. Still, I would say there is a difference between Kerry and Bush, a slight difference, but an important difference. Kerry is one half Jewish. If you put Kerry into the office, you will have no resistance whatsoever left to having Israel take over this government. At least keep our Republican president, who is a white man, in place so that we, the people, can free our country from the tentacles of this communist traitor, the Jews. There's nothing wrong with being a fascist. A fascist is someone who believes in a hierarchical government where the residents and the citizens of the country share the same religion and race, as opposed to communism, which teaches that there should be no national boundaries, there should be an international dictatorship, and all of the races should be exterminated in favor of one great mongrelized world population. Of the two, I far prefer the fascist position. And if you want to say that the fascist position is wrong because we don't believe in dictatorship, I'm not so sure we've found a viable alternative to the kings and queens of our European ancestors. Fascism is simply a dictatorship or a government led by one person with a Senate underneath him to advise him, which is not much different from what we have in England today. You're not going to be able to get a democracy where everyone has the same input into how things are going to be run as everyone else. That would be mob rule. It's far better to have a fascist government than a communist government, and that's the choice. So when someone calls you a fascist, just slap it right back at them and call them a communist, because that's probably who you're talking to.
Remember, fascism is a belief system based on a hierarchical government with the population within the nation being of one race and one religion. That's fascism, and it's a very good idea. One of the two men are going to be voted in as president, Kerry or Bush. Of the two, I prefer Bush because he hasn't capitulated to the Jews any more than any other president has since the Second World War. And under his watch, thanks in part to his order to all Americans to get into the battle of ideas, we have had an opportunity to put together our thinking and find out the truth about the Jews' control of our government. So I don't see Bush as a particularly evil man. I do see Kerry as an evil man because he's half Jewish. Having seen the Twin Towers fall and our Pentagon and our White House attacked by the Mossad, we can hardly afford to have an agent of that agency as our president. We know that the Mossad has a stranglehold on our CIA. We know that in 1981, when the Jews stole the KH-11 technology from us, which we wouldn't even share with Britain, our CIA agents could not report nefarious surveillance and spy activities on the part of the Mossad within the CIA, because they took a chance on losing their jobs. So heavily infiltrated was the CIA with Mossad agents that the likelihood was that your supervisor was a Mossad agent, and if you reported any nefarious activities within the CIA perpetrated by Mossad, your supervisor, being a Mossad agent, would very likely fire you. That was the state of the situation in 1981. Now we have a situation where the Mossad has completely taken over our government. Our Twin Towers have been felled by Mossad agents, I am sure. And it's time for us to take the Mossad, the communists, who are the same people, uproot them out of our government and throw this trash away. To that end, we should not be fighting their wars. We should have a little more self-respect. Having been attacked by Israel, we should not now accept the mantle of Israel, the harness on our own military, and use it to defeat Israel's enemy, Iraq. Remember, it was Iraq that Israel attacked in 1981 when they stole our KH-11 surveillance, satellite surveillance technology from us. Israel has been wanting to get rid of Iraq since at least 1981. We should not be put into harness to do this for Israel. Instead, we should be taking off the harness that our Jewish masters have placed on our military and our government and our media. The person who believes that he can survive without taking into consideration the rights of others is a primitive savage. That's exactly what the Jews taught. The Jews taught that they could be a tribe separate from all of the rest of the world and survive by cheating the world around them in order to benefit themselves. It doesn't work. That's what Jesus was trying to explain to these savages. Jesus was stating simple truths. You're not going to make it as a people if you continue to cheat all of the people around you. You're not going to survive as a creative entity if you continue to worship the devil and live in fear of spells being cast on you. It isn't going to work. The American Indian is not even as advanced as the Jew. They lack even the intellectual quality that the Jew inherited from the Asian. They simply have the savage, primitive instincts that tell them, I will benefit if I kill the person who's causing me trouble. It doesn't work in the long run. You offend people, people cut you out, you get shunned, and you find yourself starving in the desert. We can't give a perfect world to the Middle East. We can't guarantee peace in the Middle East, no matter what we do, and it's folly to try. That's not the appropriate task of people who are trying to create justice in an unjust situation. The situation in the Middle East will never be cured, will never be made just, until the borders go back to what they were in 1947, when the United Nations created Israel via the partition plan. Israel had no right to drive out the 750,000 Palestinians. Therefore, all of them and their progeny for the last 50 years have the right to return to the Israeli side of the partition plan. Nothing else would be just. If the Jews don't want to accept that, it's irrelevant what the Jews want. What's fair is fair. The United Nations passed a rule about 50 years ago when they first started that said there would be no more expansion. Prior to that, it was perfectly legal for example, the Europeans to come to North America, exterminate the Indians, and claim the land in the furtherance of their civilization. That was done all over the planet, and it was all right in those days. It was not illegal. However, when the United Nations was created, that was one of the bases upon which it was created. There would be no more expansion. Israel does not have the right to expand her borders beyond the 1978 boundaries as designated by the partition plan, and all of the 750,000 Palestinians and their progeny who were driven out at that time from the Israeli side of the partition plan through the use of terror and torture and murder have the right to return. That is what is just. There's no wiggle room in that verdict. That is only fair. Once you create that situation, then you handle each and every illegal criminal activity as a crime, punish it individually, and send the evildoer to jail. Just as the only solution to the Middle East is a complete rescission of all of the expansion Israel's been participating since 1948, we also have the problem of the 65 million white Christians that the Jews killed in Russia over the last 100 years, and the 10 million German people that were killed under the Morgenthau Plan, which was admittedly and self-confessedly a plan to exterminate the German people. The white race has been under this onus of being exterminated by the Jews for 100 years, and it's time to have a courtroom hearing in the world court to determine exactly what kind of reparations the Jewish race is going to make to the white race. House Bill 1269 makes it official that Mississippi recognizes that 6 million Jews died in the Second World War. Well, how about an official recognition that 65 million white Christians were killed during the Russian Revolution and that these killings were perpetrated by Jews? Don't you think that Senate owes us that? If they're going to make an Orwellian hole into which they're going to push the Jewish propaganda, I would think this country, who has a 67 majority of white people, would be able to put their history down the same Orwellian hole. At least there would be some neutralizing effect of these lies the Jews tell. Okay, let's look at House Bill 1269 coming up for approval in Mississippi, which states that the legislature of the state of Mississippi finds that between 1933 and 1945, 6 million Jews were murdered by Nazis. And B, everyone should remember all of the horrible atrocities. And it's desirable to educate our system, our citizens, about the events leading up to this Holocaust. And Holocaust history is supposed to be concerned with all people, and they're supposed to keep in mind all that was lost during this Holocaust, most notably the culture, the human beings, and everything else. Now, what about the white race? Let alone the fact that everything we've been told about the Jews is a lie, and that we shouldn't be forced to throw everything down this Orwellian memory hole, can we at least accept as equally important the things that have happened to the white race in the last 100 years? Most notably, that the white race has been the target for extermination on the part of the Jewish Bolsheviks to the tune of 200 million white Christians in World War II, and the ongoing extermination of American white leadership and middle class in the form of open borders and a campaign to miscegenate, mongrelize, and thereby destroy white people. Don't you think we should have a little inquiry into the fact that the white race is being exterminated? Since we care so much about the Jewish race, who were not exterminated, why don't we turn our attention to the majority in America and stop the onslaught on our culture, our traditions, our Christmas creches, our Christmas trees, our Ten Commandments, and stop the assassination of Americans and American people, the American culture, the American traditions? That's what needs to be studied. Naturally, the Jews are going to say that it's a horrible thing to deny what they believe to be true, that 6 million of their people died in gas chambers due to an extermination campaign architected by Hitler. Naturally, that's what the Jews are going to say when the white people argue that we don't want our taxpayer dollars spent on any more Holocaust museums. But I should think if the Jews are sincere about wanting the truth known, then why don't we have a memorial to a debate? Why don't we bring this thing up to the fore? After all, it's probably the greatest psychic or the greatest catastrophe to the world psyche of any other intellectual revolution, second only to when people finally were allowed to say that the earth was round after having been burned at the stake for many centuries. We're in that kind of a psychological crisis, an intellectual crisis. Let's have a debate. Let's have a memorial to a debate. Let's erect debate halls and let's discuss this and find out what the truth is. Don't let the Jews be the only voice. Let the white man speak. Let us have a debate. Do you realize that in Germany you go to jail for 5 years if you enter into a debate about the Holocaust? That there are hate speech laws all over Europe that punish people for even questioning the details about the Holocaust? It doesn't matter anymore what the truth is, as much as that we find out what the truth is. It doesn't matter so much whether or not the Nazis killed 6 million Jews, or whether or not the Jews killed 65 million white Christians in Russia, as it matters that people are entitled to talk and think freely. There has to be a debate. There has to be a forum for a debate. Any place that you see the Jews taking control of the forum and saying, we have the truth and you're not allowed to argue, you've got an American free speech issue. We need to use our money from our government, if it's going to be used at all, for a free and open, vigorous debate. There was no debate allowed in the Nuremberg trials. There was no cross-examination of witnesses. The witnesses who testified had been tortured nearly to death. The trial was the biggest travesty of justice since the three trials of Jesus Christ. We need a debate. We need a real trial. We need an appeal. We need a worldwide court of public opinion to appeal the decision of the Nuremberg court and really get down to the facts of the case. And we need to carry the debate on forever and ever into our history so that future generations can debate the issue, as we are allowed to debate the issue of the Civil War, but are not allowed to debate the issue of the Second World War. We have to have a debate. Our children have to be free to speak freely. They have to be free to think. They're going to have problems they're going to have to solve, and they're going to need all of their psychic energy to solve their problems, not to repress the truth, which the Jews don't want addressed. According to the Communist Party, they wanted to take over the entire world. That's always been the intention of the Communists, which is an international group of people. We didn't know until the Berlin Wall fell down that the communists were the Jews. And you don't need to accept that in order to understand the danger to the white race. The point is, you all know that communism is a totalitarian belief system that intends to take over the entire world. To that end, many countries have already fallen to communism, but the communists said in their communist papers, we will never be able to take over America like a small country with force. The only way we're going to be able to take over America is from within. So to that end, we will infiltrate and we will take over the leadership of America by infiltrating the government and convincing the people that the white Christian leadership should not be backed up, and will actually take America over through the vote. That's the point. Now, the communists came up with a lot of ways of destroying America's white Christian leadership, including opening up the borders so that the 1 million or more non-whites would inundate our country, thus diluting the gene pool, and by encouraging illegitimacy and anything that attacks the nuclear family. That would be another way to have a lot of bastards in the gene pool, which wouldn't be genetically strong enough to become leaders. And that's the way the communists are. They have, Joe McCarthy warned us that the communists were going to infiltrate our government. Unfortunately, we didn't listen to him, and now we see that our government is infiltrated by communists. That's no surprise. The surprise is that the communists turn out to be the ancient enemy of the Christians, the Jews. We now have the Jews, although they only comprise 1% of America's population, enjoying 70% of America's positions of leadership and power. That's ridiculous. There's no way that Jews could be 70 times more intelligent than white people. Personally, I don't think they're at all intelligent, but they say they're 4 times more intelligent than white people, that they produce 4 times the number per capita of gifted people, that being people with IQs of 130 or more. Even if that were true, they would still only be entitled to enjoy at the most 8% of our positions of leadership and power. If 1% of the people, or let's say it's 2% to give them the benefit of the doubt, let's say that the Jews comprise 2% of America's population and that they produce per capita 4 times the gifted people. 2 times 4 equals 8. At best, the Jews should be enjoying 8% of America's positions of leadership and power, but according to head Jew, Harvard professor Alan Dershowitz, they enjoy over 70% of America's leadership and power. That should help you understand that this country has been taken over by Jews, and they're not playing fair. Once you accept that God is love, then you have to define what love is. And of course, one of the qualities of love is justice. The Jews would have us to believe that love means the white man has to give everything he's developed, earned, created to the non-white, because the non-white can't create for himself. And since, after all, we're supposed to give to everybody because that's what love is, the white man should impoverish himself in favor of the non-white. But of course, that's not justice. Justice is, and fairness, is that each person should be able to create to their own ability to benefit themselves, their family, their town, and not everyone else's family and town. It just doesn't make sense. That's what the whole spirit of competition is about. You go out, you go into the jungle, you try to capture animals, and you bring them home to the people that you love. That's the true God of love, the God that rewards the man who can get up and do his best and recompense the individual for what the individual is able to create. That is your actual God of love. That being the case, you can quickly see that there has to be a hierarchy in the affairs of mankind, that the superior people are going to be able to create more and have more, and the inferior people are going to have less. That's just the way it is, and it's the way it ought to be. So once you get rid of the Jews and the Santeria people and the Muslims and all of these Satan worshippers, it shouldn't be too hard to understand that capitalism is actually the most Christian way of going about things, allowing each man to be motivated by his own desire to act in his enlightened self-interest, and let there be a free enterprise system without interference on the part of these Satan worshippers, which say the superior man has to give to the inferior man. Now, that doesn't mean there should not be charity. Of course there should be charity, and in fact, many Christian societies ask that each Christian tithe 10% of his money to the poor, and that's good. But to have the government do that for you takes away from you the spiritual benefit that you get from giving to people who are not as lucky as you are, or as gifted, or as able to get things for themselves. So we need to go back to the Christian system of charity and get rid of the idea of government controlling our tithing system, and, of course, get rid of the Satan worshippers and make them go back to the countries from whence they came. That means Jews go to Israel, Negroes go to Africa, and Muslims go back to Arabia. I really think that America has to rethink her policy toward tolerating religions. I don't think you can have Satanism in the same society that you have Christianity.
because Satanism teaches that it's good not to have a conscience, it's good to rape and pillage, steal and murder, and Christianity teaches the opposite. Christianity promotes a human conscience and teaches that you should be giving and loving and kind to the people around you. So when you have the two religions sharing space, you have one group of people stealing from the other group of people. And that's completely contrary to the whole idea of Christianity. After all, Christianity is a common sense religion that teaches people how to get along so that they can promote inventions and creativity. If you introduce Satan worship into that culture, you destroy its inventiveness and its creativity, which is what we have now. We presently have a pretty uncreative, pretty uninventive society. Most of us walk around in one kind of terror or the other, and I contend that the reason that the ambiance in America has gone down from being extremely idealistic and creative and romantic in the 50s to the bestiality that you see today is because Christians incorrectly allowed and tolerated Satan worshippers to live amongst them. So what we have to do now is go back and look at the vision of our founding fathers and agree that you can't have a civilization unless at least the members of that civilization understand that God is love. Once you come to that conclusion and are willing to enter into that social compact, then you should go about the business of driving out the Satan worshippers. That would include the Jews, the Muslims, the Santerias, and the practitioners of voodoo. And if, from the white person's point of view, it would be nice, because that would mean we'd be getting rid of the Hispanics, the sub-Saharan Negroes, the Jews, and the Muslims. You know, there's a theory going around that Moses is the same person in history as Akhenaten. If you know who that is, that's the Egyptian pharaoh who invented the one god theory based on the sun god Ra. He's also known as Amenhotep IV. He's in the 18th dynasty, and the Jews left Egypt after approximately 400 years, during their what they call their sojourn in Egypt. The Jews left just about the middle of the 19th dynasty. So there's a question as to who. The question is, could Moses be the same person as Akhenaten? And I think there's a lot of persuasive evidence to support that idea. But the bad news is that Akhenaten is not the beautiful man we thought he was. He's not a man who promotes the one God is love theory by any means. He promoted the one devil theory, the one we see the Jews believing in today with their sacrificing chickens and all on their altars to God as recently as last Hanukkah. We saw pictures of that in the Yahoo News media. At any rate, we have been mistaken in thinking that Akhenaten was ahead of his time and was promoting a one God idea, which was unifying the consciousness of mankind from believing in many, many gods. The Egyptians had a way of worshiping cats and dogs and birds and things, and they made statues to these little household gods, and these household gods represented various human qualities. But the bad news is that Akhenaten was not unifying the psyche of mankind. He was reverting to the demonic cult of Judaism, which is why I think he probably was Moses. Akhenaten insisted that his followers actually take the animals, like the birds and the cats and the dogs that had been formerly worshipped by the Egyptians, and slaughter them on altars by cutting their throats in half, only half cut. So we know that they were kosher, that Akhenaten was demanding that his people kosher kill the animals who'd been so revered and loved by the Egyptians on these hideous altars to their satanic god. Now we find the same man, who may be the same guy as Moses, leaving Egypt because Akhenaten was so offensive to the Egyptian
rulers that they drove him out of Egypt, and researchers and historians are wondering if he's the same guy as Moses, who you remember was driven out of Egypt, took his people over to Jerusalem, didn't make it to Jerusalem, but the rest of the Jews did go to Jerusalem, and they lived there for, I think, about 50 years before the Egyptians came and slaughtered them again. But anyway, isn't that an interesting idea, that this beautiful man we've been revering as a precursor to our one God is love theory was nothing more than a filthy Jew who was tearing down the establishment of the Egyptians, their beautiful religion, their reverence and love for their animals, and forcing them to slaughter these beautiful animals on these altars to Satan? Well, I mean, it gives you cause to wonder, you know, when you see that Michelangelo depicted Moses with horns on his head. Obviously, he knew that Moses was a devil.
When we are dancing and you're dangerously near me, I get ideas, I get ideas. I wanna hold you so much closer than I dare to. I wanna scold you 'cause I care more than I care to. And when you touch me in this fire in every finger, I get ideas, I get ideas. And after we have kissed goodnight and still you linger, I kind of think you get ideas too. Your eyes are always saying the things you're never saying. I only hope they're saying that you could love me too. For that's the whole idea, it's true. The lovely idea that I've fallen in love with you. Your eyes are always saying the things they're never saying. I only hope they're saying that you could love me too. For that's the whole idea, it's true. The lovely idea that I've fallen in love with you.
It's not an exaggeration to say that Americans are zombies when you consider how completely passive they've become at the effect of our Jew-controlled media, the newspapers, the magazines, the radio and the television and the movies. We are zombies. We really are. We do what we're told. We don't question the Jew. If we try to question the Jew and the majority says, oh, that's anti-Semitic, you should lose your job, we don't know what to do. We're just flailing around trying to get back to the vision of our founding fathers, which had nothing to do with being stupid. Our founding fathers were very bright world leaders, and they taught us how to live. You need freedom of speech. You need freedom of religion, freedom to worship God as you see fit. That doesn't mean you have the right to bring Satanism into this country or sacrifice animals and children on an altar to that type of a negative deity, but you certainly have the right to visualize God the way you visualize God. You don't have to be told by someone else what is the definition of God or virtue or goodness. Everyone has their own conscience and they're entitled to that. The story of Dan Rather is very, very interesting. He was given an exclusive opportunity to view the Magruder film after the assassination of JFK, the only news media man that was allowed to do that. The way that happened was that the Magruder film was taken over by the authorities
and shown to many people in our police profession. I don't know who they would be, probably very high-level people. And somehow Dan Rather was able to look at that video. Oh, I think I remember now. The idea was that first the police would look at the film, and then the news media would be allowed to look at the film. But Dan Rather somehow got to get in to look at the film with the policemen, and he was the only member of the news media that was allowed to do that. So after the first viewing of the Magruder film, a decision was made not to show the film to the news media. That left Dan Rather as the only member of the news media who was allowed to see the Magruder film. He came out of that viewing and he told the American public through his news shows that the Magruder film made it abundantly clear that JFK was shot by one lone assassin. Oh, thank you, the Sepp Bruder film. Dan Rather announced to all the world that the Sepp Bruder film that he had been allowed to look at, to the exclusion of all the rest of the news media, made it abundantly clear that JFK was assassinated by one lone assassin, which we all now know was untrue. It took 20 years for that Sepp Bruder film to be released to the public, and then by that time we had cooled down and we saw that, no, there was a conspiracy involved in the assassination of our president. But what the point I'm trying to make is that Dan Rather plays a very interesting part in American history in that he was the only member of the news media allowed to look at the Sepp Bruder film, and then, like a good little boy, he came out and told the American public a lie, which was that Kennedy had been assassinated by one lone assassin. So that's just one example to show you how we reward members of the news media who carry forth the lies of the rogue shadow government that's assassinating our presidents and knocking down our Twin Towers and things like that. You'll find these Jewesses in various chat rooms who have the very thick Bronx accent and chide Christians about failing to honor their Christian principles by not blessing the Jew. These women will say, if you bless the Jew, you will be blessed, and if you curse the Jew, you will be cursed. Your Bible tells you that the Jews are God's chosen people, and Jesus was a Jew, etc., etc., etc. They're very emotional people. They're very emotionally battering people. They know how to manipulate people's emotions because they, after all, they are Jewesses. And we need to learn not to accommodate for the emotional demands of the Jewess. It's no longer acceptable for the Jewess to be giving us moral instruction from this beatific position, and then at the least sign of not supporting the Jewess's position regarding Israel or the gas chambers, they break into this hysterical hissy fit, and then everybody has to take hours and hours calming down the hysterical Jewess, because God knows the emotions of the Jew are the most important thing on this planet. I say, when you're confronted with a Jewess who attempts to give you moral instruction about your own religion, you should simply turn your face and not relate. That's the best way to handle these hysterics. Just don't pay attention. The last thing you want to do is start sopping up the tears of the grieving Jewess, because it will completely destroy all intelligent conversation.
I think the Jew does feel that he's being murdered when the Gentile expresses his natural Gentile revulsion for the Jew. I think it hurts their feelings to the point where they want to kill us. And that's not the right attitude to take toward your superiors. Everyone has superiors, and everyone has inferiors. Your attitude toward your superiors should be a desire to aspire to be as good as they are. Your attitude toward your inferiors should be to help your inferiors to become as good as you are. There's a hierarchy in the business of man. The Jew is not at the top of the hierarchy. He thinks he is, because he's got so much control. But that's a temporary aberration. Cancer can take control of a man's body and kill him, but that does not make cancer superior to the human being. The Jew has to take his place in the continuum of the human race, and that's a little bit above the sub-Saharan Negro and quite a bit below his real ancestor, which is the yellow race. The Jew is, remember, primarily an Asian with an ungodly mixture of black blood. So he should be looking up to his Asian parents for guidance. The last thing the Jew should be doing is trying to take over the world and putting himself in a position of ascendancy over not only the yellows, but the whites as well. How did the Jews get in control of America? It's an amazing phenomenon. You might just as well ask yourself, how did a person get infected with cancer? But it's an important question, and it does have to be answered. The way the Jew got in control of America was by the fact that Americans did not listen to Adolf Hitler, who saw the threat and had the laws in place to prevent the Jews from taking over Germany. Number one, Hitler passed a law that you could not have any part of the news media that was not loyal to Germany. Germans' media, according to Hitler, was not going to be used to destroy Germany. So to that end, no foreign newspapers could be sold or printed in Germany, at least not in their foreign language. If you were a foreigner, you could print out a foreign press, but it had to be printed in German. It couldn't be printed in a foreign language. Also, of course, Jews were not allowed to print any propaganda in Germany because the Jews were belligerents of the state. Under the doctrine of international law, Adolf Hitler had every right to put these belligerents of the state in concentration camps. So naturally, he was not going to allow these enemies of the state to have their media organs, like the newspapers, the magazines, the radio, promoting seditious propaganda. We in America did not see the threat, even though Joseph McCarthy had the House of Un-American Activities Committee investigating the communist threat to America in the form of a takeover on the part of the communists of, for example, Hollywood. You've all heard of the famous Hollywood 10 and the Hollywood 8, who were blacklisted and not allowed to promote their movies in America because it was proven that they were communists. And according to Joe McCarthy, who was absolutely right and was following in Hitler's footsteps, you should not allow communists to get a hold of our propaganda machine and pump out false, seditious propaganda to the American people. That's how the Jews got into control of America. We failed to study the lessons of Adolf Hitler. We allowed these bastards, these mongrels, these traitors to get a hold of our media, and now the American people have been brainwashed by the Jew-controlled media, and we're going to have to unbrainwash our people. Thank you for listening tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening's edition of The Holohoax. See you next week, same time, same station.